and she blushed. "What do you say, Sam? It's your 4 bits." Sam bowed low to the girl. "Ma'am," he said, "now you see how dang foolish it is to be a young feller." The girl laughed, and Roy began to throw while the girl counted aloud the kisses she owed him. Some of the people from the train passed by and stayed to watch when they learned from the mocking kids what Roy was throwing for. The girl told off the 3rd and 4th kisses. As Roy fingered the ball for the last throw, the whammer came by, holding over his shoulder a Louisville slugger that he had won for himself in the batting cage down a way. Harriet, her pretty face flushed, had a Cupid doll, and Max Mercy carried a box of cigars. Roy raised his arm to throw for the 5th kiss and a clean sweep when the whammer called out to him in a loud voice, "Pitch it here, Busher, and I'll knock it into the moon." Roy shot for the last kiss and missed. He missed with the 2nd and 3rd balls. The crowd oohed its disappointment. "Only 4, said the girl in yellow, as if she mourned the 5th. Angered at what had happened, Sam hoarsely piped, "I got $10 that says he can strike you out with 3-pitch balls, Wambold." The whammer looked at Sam with contempt. "What'd he say, Max?" he said. Mercy shrugged. "Oh, I love contests of skill," Harriet said excitedly. Roy's face went pale. "What's the matter, Hayfoot? You scared?" the whammer taunted. "Not of you," Roy said. "Let's go across the tracks where nobody'll get hurt," Mercy suggested. Sam cornered one of the kids who lived nearby and sent him home for a fielder's glove and his friend's catcher's mitt. While they were waiting, for protection, he buttoned underneath his coat the washboard Roy had won. Max drew a batter's box alongside a piece of slate. He said he would call the throws, and they would count as 1 of the 3 pitches only if they were over or if the whammer swung and missed. When the boy returned with the gloves, the sun was going down. And though the sky was aflame with light all the way to the snowy mountain peak, it was chilly on the ground. Breaking the seal, Sam squeezed the baseball box, and the pill shot up like a greased egg. He flipped it to Roy. "Better throw a couple of warm-ups." "My arm is loose," said Roy. "It's your funeral." He cautioned Roy to keep his pitches inside, for the whammer was known to gobble them on the outside corner. Sam returned to the plate and crouched behind the batter. Roy drew on his glove and palmed the ball behind it. Mercy, rubbing his hands to warm them, edged back about 6 feet behind Sam. The onlookers retreated to the other side of the track, except Harriet, who stood without fear of fouls up close. Her eyes shone at the sight of the 2 men facing one another. Mercy called, "Batter up!" The whammer crowded the left side of the plate, gripping the heavy bat low on the neck, his hands jammed together and legs plunked evenly apart. His eye on Roy said it spied a left-handed monkey. "Throw it, Rube, it won't get no lighter." Roy's heart skipped a beat. He turned to gaze at the mountain. Sam whacked the leather with his fist. "Come on, kiddo. Wham it down his whammy." The whammer out of the corner of his mouth told the drunk to keep his mouth shut. "Burn it across his button." "Close your trap," Mercy said. "Cut his throat with it." "If he tries to dust me, so help me, I will smash his skull," the whammer threatened. Roy stretched loosely, rocked back on his left leg, twirling the right a little like a dancer, then strode forward and threw. At 33, the whammer still enjoyed exceptional eyesight. He saw the ball spin off Roy's fingertips, and it reminded him of a white pigeon he had kept as a boy. He was conscious of its bird form and white flapping wings until it suddenly disappeared from view. He heard a noise like the bang of a firecracker at his feet, and Sam had the ball in his mitt. Unable to believe his ears, he heard Mercy intone a reluctant strike. Sam flung off the glove and was wringing his hand.
"Hurt you, Sam?" Roy called. "No, it's this dang glove."
Though he did not show it, the pitch had bothered the whammer no end. Not just the speed of it, but the sensation of surprise and strangeness that went with it. Him batting here on the railroad tracks, the crazy carnival, the drunk catching and a clown pitching, and that queer Dame Harriet, who had 5 minutes ago been patting him on the back for his skill in the batting cage, now eyeing him coldly for letting one pitch go by. He noticed Max had moved farther back.
"How the hell you expect to call him out there?" "He looks wild to me."
Max moved in. Sam crouched with his glove on. Do it again, Roy. Give him something similar. Do it again, mimicked the whammer. To the crowd, maybe to Harriet, he held up a vaunting finger showing there were other pitches to come. Roy pumped, reared, and flung. The ball appeared to the batter to be a slow, spinning planet looming toward the earth. At last it drifted within range of his weapon, or so he thought, because he lunged at it ferociously, twisting round like a top. He landed on both knees as the world floated by over his head and hit with a whoop into the cave of Sam's glove.
Strike!
Mercy called long after a cheer. Was it a jeer? Had burst from the crowd.
What's he throwing? The whammer howled. Spitters?
In the pig's poop, Sam thrust the ball at him. It's drier than your granddaddy's scalp. The whammer felt oddly relieved. He liked to have his back crowding the wall, when there was a single pitch to worry about and a single pitch to hit. Then the sweat began to leak out of his pores as he stared at the hard, lanky figure of the pitcher, moving despite his years like a veteran undertaker of the diamond. Roy raised his leg. He smelled the whammer's blood and wanted it. The third ball slithered at the batter like a meteor, the flame swallowing itself. He lifted his club to crush it into a universe of sparks, but the heavy wood dragged, and though he willed to destroy the sound, he heard a gong-bong and realized with sadness that the ball he had expected to hit had long since been part of the past. And though Max could not cough the fatal word out of his throat, the whammer understood he was, in the truest sense of it,